Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. We're the Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle in the studios. Jason Bishop in his home office. Did you get the cocktail?
No, not yet.
He's talking trash. He's not going to do it.
He does have kids at home.
Well, he didn't care about that.
They won't be up until noon.
He knows that'll make him tired.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'll wait until about 3:30 to have one.
All right, but we're going to get back into the NFL. We spent a lot of time earlier talking about two things, Tom Brady in Tampa Bay and Cam Newton, and would he end up in Washington possibly? Steve Palazzo covers the NFL for Pro Football Focus, senior analyst there. What's up, Steve?
Hold on one second. How are we doing? Thanks for having me, guys.
So, Steve, let's start with Tom Brady. I saw an interesting stat about Jameis in Tampa. So Jameis, I believe, was second in the league in yards thrown downfield, however they categorize that. I know that Tom Brady, when I watch it, it's a lot of short passes. How do you see Brady fitting in Tampa, and do you think he's going to succeed?
Yeah, I mean, I think my initial thought on that was he wasn't going to be a great fit for Bruce Arians. It's not just Jameis throwing down the field. Jameis has always done that, but Bruce Arians has also always done that too, whether he had Andrew Luck, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer. So initially I thought maybe not a great fit. It's not that Brady's incapable of throwing downfield. I mean, if you grabbed him 3 or 4 years ago and threw him in the system, you know, I think he'd be fine. It's more so, okay, what's he going to do at 43 years old? And, you know, is he losing just a little bit to where this might not be a great fit? But I'm fascinated to see it happen. I think he's still capable of it. And when you have the types of playmakers that he has with the Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin, the two tight ends, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, I can't wait to see it. I think Brady's still capable, and he was held back quite a bit last year by a poor supporting cast. Even though he took a slight step back, I think he's got a chance to rejuvenate here in Tampa Bay.
And it's a fascinating story. It really is. I mean, I assume it'll be the number one story heading into week one, or certainly to the preseason. Who knows how short the preseason is going to be and training camp. But let me ask you this. With Brady in Tampa, with those weapons, and remember, the NFL is adding the two playoff teams to each conference, right? So you don't have to necessarily have 10 wins to get to the playoffs. You could have 8. You know, Tampa could go 8-8 and get into the playoffs. So that's more intriguing. So this is the way I feel. I don't believe that Brady puts them over the top. Are they a playoff team with them? Yes. I just don't believe that they are a Super Bowl contender at 43. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the 43-year-old thing does bring up a question, but I think they're in the mix. I think the thing that would be holding them back is just that the NFC is really deep. I think
right.
For the last 3-4 years, it felt like, you know, who's the king of the NFC? It's literally been a different team every single year, and you'd be sitting there halfway through the season and saying, man, the playoffs in the NFC is going to be competitive, and it has been. You just never know who's going to come out of there, and then you just look in the division. You have the New Orleans Saints. The Falcons still have a ton of firepower. The Panthers are in rebuild mode. But, you know, yeah, it's certainly going to be tough. The thing I like about what Tampa Bay did, though, is the defense was sneaky good last year. They've invested a ton in the secondary, which is huge. The NFL today is about pass the ball and stop the pass. And the Bucs made a big stride last year with their young corners, doing a much better job in the pass game. So I think that at least gives them a chance with Brady under center.
Steve, going back to Brady, when Pro Football Focus breaks down the numbers, what did you see? You mentioned some slippage. What did you see in the numbers from Brady last year?
Yeah, so if you go back a couple of years, from 2014 to 17, Brady was by far our highest graded quarterback. I mean, even if you go back further than that and make it a bigger sample size, but I'd say 15 to 17, maybe the best stretch of quarterback play we've ever seen. I mean, throw for throw, the way we do it, giving credit for good throws, whether it's dropped or not, that's how we do it at PFF. Brady was spectacular. He took a little bit of a step back in 2018. They still win the Super Bowl. And then last year, he took a bigger step back. But then if you look at his raw numbers, they make it seem like he fell off a cliff. You know, he's 25th and 28th and a whole bunch of just raw stats. But he was 12th overall in the league for us from a play-by-play grading standpoint. So that says there's something else going on as far as supporting cast, guys not getting open, whatever it may have been. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he was nearly as bad as the stats would have showed. And there was certainly a drop-off after about week three or four last year. But again, when you have the difference between grade and stats, I think that says, hey, if you give this guy a better supporting cast, which is different from other points in his career, he used to elevate everybody. He's won Super Bowls without Gronk. He's won every which way. But at this point in his career, I think he needs the supporting cast and can still put up big numbers.
The thing that kind of jumps out to me is the completion percentage. Now, he's never been a guy that's been, 70%. He's not Drew Brees when it comes to completion percentage. He's had years like that, but in the last 5 years, just look at it, 64.5, 67, 66.5, 66, and then last year, 60. So, and especially the last 6-7 weeks, Steve, he was in the 50s right. For a lot of that. I mean, and I watched a lot of them. He just looked old. His arm strength wasn't there. Now, he didn't have he didn't have Gronk. He didn't have the stud receivers, but to me, the completion percentage really jumped out to me.
Yeah, I mean, he missed more throws than he did in previous years. There's no denying that, but he also was throwing the ball away at a ridiculously high rate, which obviously goes to the completion percentage. And, they spent the first-round pick on N'Keal Harry, who even in college just could not separate. He's good after the catch. He does some things pretty well, but he didn't really create separation. So Julian Edelman was the only guy that he really had to throw to. Mohamed Sanu wasn't really working out, and they had the worst tight end situation in the NFL. So there was a lot of factors, I think, that go into the completion percentage. So you get a slight decline from Brady. It was really there, and that gets exaggerated even further when you look at the supporting cast as well.
So, Steve, with the Colts going with Rivers just for 1 year, and I understand that Rivers has the relationship with Reich from his days in San Diego, but why would the Colts prefer Rivers over Brady? Do you think they were ever interested in on Tom Brady?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. It's probably something with the familiarity. I think it's always risky when Brady moves and goes from a system where the terminology has been the same for 20 years, and especially going to an Arian system, which is completely different. I think there's something to, hey, if you're going to get an older quarterback, Philip Rivers still has plenty to offer as well. And when you put him in Indianapolis, indoor environment, should help his arm just a little bit, put him behind a good offensive line. I think there was a fit there, where Rivers hasn't played behind a good offensive line in about 10 years, to be honest. And, that was one of the things he was lacking. Similarly, Brady can kind of hide the offensive line a little bit better. He needs better playmakers. I think for both teams, it was probably a good fit. And the Colts, I think we're likely saying, we've got a relationship with Philip Rivers. We have a line for him to play behind. We'll draft some playmakers. And, the Colts could really benefit from that one-year deal.
Joined by Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. We spent some time kind of kicking around the hypothetical of Cam Newton here to D.C. because the Redskins, of course, have Ron Rivera. And now it looks like Cam is at least going to be allowed to explore a trade. Maybe ultimately he gets waived. Let's talk about his Pro Football Focus numbers, though, the last couple of years he was playing. You were talking about that incredible stretch Brady had where he was the top-rated quarterback for you for 3 years. After the MVP year, the numbers went down for Cam. Where was he in the league in your grades?
Yeah, Cam, I use the term mid-tier for quarterbacks quite a bit, and it's not a knock. I really think quarterbacks like 9 through 25 are in a similar boat in today's NFL. I think Cam is in that middle tier. If you really look at his career, from a 30,000-foot view, the 2015 MVP season is an outlier. You know, at the time it was like, hey, we're year five, Cam's hitting his stride, he's awesome, great. But from a grading standpoint, that was the only year that he finished in the top five for us in grading. He's only finished top 10 twice. So he's a guy that's a middle class quarterback who does bring us a specific valuable skill set with his running ability. So I think the MVP year was an outlier. I think he's still capable of those outlier type seasons, because they come when you have a great supporting cast again, when you have guys to throw to who are getting open. He will drive the ball down the field and take some chances. But I think his rushing value has to coincide with those top-end years. And I don't know if you really want to run Cam at this point in his career because of the injury. So it's a tough one for Cam. I think he's a good, not great quarterback. And I don't know if he's the guy you want to build. If you're rebuilding, I don't know if he's the guy you want for the next 3 or 4 years, but I could see the relationship and, you know, taking a shot to see if he could recapture some of that 2015 magic.
What did you see in Dwayne in just a small sample size?
So I thought there was some improvement there. Our grades, you know, kind of liked him, you know, toward the end and everything.
Kinda.
There's still some.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
What's that? With the grades?
Yeah, no, I'm saying I don't blame you. I'm just laughing. You kind of liked him.
Right, right. I mean, just kind of. So there's been something missing with Haskins for me, and I think in today's NFL, you don't have to make plays outside the pocket, but you kind of have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, even Brady, during his great stretch, started making plays outside of structure, and Haskins did a better job of that last year, but it's not really his game. He reminds me a little bit of Sam Bradford, where he's accurate. You give him this, you know, beautiful ecosystem, nice pocket. He'll make some NFL-looking throws, but pocket presence, not great. Took too many sacks, missed a high percentage of throws. Didn't turn it over by our numbers, turnover-worthy plays. Had some unlucky interceptions, so I thought he did a good job of that. But that ends up on the game manager type of spectrum if he keeps that up, which is fine. But, you know, a lot of other things have to go right around him if you're going to win with Haskins playing like that.
Steve, this is what we were kicking around. Cam just screams individual to me. I mean, we saw those awful press conferences when they lost games. He refused to talk or answer questions. It's all about him. Dwayne's got a little bit of that. You know, he's not on that level yet, but I could see him trending towards that. So the last thing I would want is a pouter as my starting quarterback. Now, I'm not sure what Rivera's relationship and his tolerance level is for Cam. Obviously, it must have been pretty good because he was there for the entire time. But that's just, if I was coaching a team, especially a new team with new guys in the locker room, Cam would not be the guy that I would want to lead.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because at PFF, we're all about numbers and analytics, and we grade every single play from a pure production standpoint. And we'd usually try to avoid the off-field stuff, you know, even the press conferences and all that. But I do think at the quarterback position, there is something to the great ones have a certain tone about them when it comes to press conferences. And even like an Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't always say the right thing, he kind of says it with this like, hey, I'm going to get you at some point, right? And you don't always see that from a Cam. You don't always see that from some other guys. So I don't like to overanalyze press conference stuff. I'll just say that the best ones have some similarities, and I'm not sure if Cam fits in that bucket. So I could see that. I mean, I think the big thing in Washington is you have to figure out who the quarterback is, not just a quarterback. I think right now Dwayne Haskins is a quarterback. I think there are plenty of Dwayne Haskins around the league right now. I don't know if that was the case 5 or 6 years ago in the NFL. Andy Dalton was like the cutoff a couple of years ago. Like, if you're below Andy Dalton, you're in trouble. There's about 10 to 15 Andy Dalton caliber right. quarterbacks in today's NFL. There's 32 legitimate starters. So I think you have to try to find special. And if you don't have special, you keep finding it. I think Washington's in that boat. Go and try to find special. Go and get Tua if he's healthy, because you have to find the guy, not just a guy at quarterback.
Wow. Okay.
What can the Redskins expect from Thomas Davis? 37, still had a bunch of tackles last year.
Not much. Can't be much.
Yeah, not a ton. I love Thomas Davis as a player. He's about 4 years removed from being one of the best linebackers in the NFL. If I had Thomas Davis, you could limit him to maybe 500, 600 snaps, get him blitzing a little bit more like he was a few years ago. And, you know, the value of a good linebacker, an aging linebacker, is getting guys lined up. London Fletcher, late in his career, wasn't a great player, but he'd at least get guys lined up. So you need some talent around him to kind of hide the fact that he's old, but there's something to that veteran presence and maybe blitzing him a little bit more and kind of hiding the fact that he's lost a step or two in coverage.
Hey, Steve, before we let you go, getting back to the Patriots, where do they go now? Is Jameis in play? You know, is Dalton in play? What do you think that they're – I can't imagine Belichick's going to go with Jared Stidham, but maybe he does. I have no idea.
It's crazy. It's literally the first time since 1992 that they haven't had Bledsoe or Brady, and you know, and they have quarterback questions. I would lean more of a Dalton type for them. I can't imagine, you know, Belichick's blood pressure with Jameis back there, but, you know, he is one to adjust the league, and Jameis's volatility – I think is not as bad as people indicate, because people do get caught up in interceptions, but he brings a ton of value to an offense because of his aggressiveness. I just don't know if that's Belichick's style, especially coming from Brady for the last 20 years. So I could see a Dalton type or taking a shot on a Nick Foles and then trying to maneuver in the draft. Supposedly they have a plan. I don't know if that's a, you know, an outlandish Derek Carr trade or something like that, but yeah, uncharted territory for Belichick and the Patriots.
And he would never go with Cam.
So the reason why he might take Cam is because Belichick, as I joked on Twitter yesterday, he loves when players play well in his presence, and Cam is 2-0 against him.
Oh, wow.
For whatever that's worth, you know, and he knows how difficult it is to defend Cam Newton and all that stuff. I'm more likely to see I think Cam than Jameis. They're similar players as far as their volatility and aggressiveness. Cam has that rushing ability. I wouldn't put him past Cam. They'd have to figure out some stuff from a cap situation, though.
Steve, appreciate the time. It's Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst at Pro Football Focus. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Anytime.
Of course, he joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's EB, Bish, and JP.
What is Eric next, laughing about?
We're going to do the herd mentality thing. You got to remember, EB. Remember, we're going to give you a chance. You're going to talk about the herd next, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about herd immunity. I'm fascinated by it, and I think it ultimately it might be a solution.
We'll get into that next here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Jason in his home office. Eric and I here in the studios at 1015 Half Streets, where our security guard, Carlos, has figured out a nice way to protect himself from the coronavirus.
Well, it's hilarious.
I saw that yesterday.
Hit the funniest picture ever.
If you follow us on Twitter, at Junks
Radio.
Did you
tweet it?
I believe Drab did, but it's at Junks Radio.
When did you tweet it?
His setup.
Like an hour ago.
Oh, are people commenting?
The caution signs?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, people don't like these jokes anymore. But to me, I was like...
He's funny.
Yeah. Well, I can't say what I was going to say. But if I was Carlos, I'd be doing the same thing.
He's got his social distance. So he has the yellow caution markers, which are usually there, you know, for wet floor. Mm-hmm. And he has that around the table where he sits... On the main floor where people check in
and people go to the elevators.
He's
got 10 of them. He's got a whole perimeter.
Yes.
Right. It's basically a 6-foot perimeter.
He's established a perimeter.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this herd immunity thing that's out there, the models, and they all know about it. Fauci, you know, they know everything, right? But so the UK was trying this model, and then they basically got shamed out of it So now they're going our route, social distancing and all this stuff. But in Denmark, the way I understand it, and I'm kind of low-keying my – now, I'm basically an expert on this. I could pretty much go on any cable channel and be an expert. I'm convinced. So the best of my understanding, what Denmark is doing is – this is the way it would work – is you figure out what your vulnerable population is, whatever that age is, for sheer age.
Say hypothetically over 65.
Let's say that. Let's say 65, and then obviously anybody else immunocompromised, whatever, and heart condition, whatever those characteristics are of the people that are getting severely sick. So like if you have cardiac issues, diabetes, anything like that. So you know those criteria. All of you have to be 100% isolated. You have to shut it down. Kind of like, kind of should be anyway already, but shut it down, right? And then the rest of us that are healthy-ish, and we don't think we're at a risk for this, we go about our lives, and over the course of the next few months, we get it, and 80% of us are asymptomatic. The 20% of us that do have some symptoms, the hospitals aren't overwhelmed, so they could treat us.
Right, you end up going the route of, let's say, Kevin Durant or whatever.
Right, right, like everybody else. We get treated. There's going to be a percentage of us that do get severe complications, but same thing with influenza. There's a small percentage of people that get severe complications and develop pneumonias, and there are tragic outcomes. But for the most part, we all get it. 99% of us have no issue, more than 99%. And then we build up an immunity to it because it looks like, for the most part, nobody gets it again.
When do those people re-enter society?
That's, you have to figure that out.
Because I would wonder, in a free country, and Denmark's a free country. I mean, it's not a totalitarian government. It's not communist.
Yeah.
But in our country, where you have civil liberties, those 65-year-olds, like we just made the cutoff. Let's say it's an 80-year-old, and they just want to go to the grocery store. Can they do that?
And under this scenario, no. We'd have to get their stuff for them. Or maybe you could have hours where they could go. You really couldn't. They have to be isolated. We have to provide for them.
We're taking away their legal rights. Because that's the part in this society that I think would be difficult. You know, like Kid Rock.
They're doing that right now, JP. They're doing that right now.
I understand that. I think Kid Rock flipped. But there were some people that are like, hey, you can tell me I'm not going to have an open restaurant. I'm opening it anyway.
No, your example, they're telling me. There's a guy that they diagnosed with COVID. And he said, I'm not isolating. I'm going to do my life. F you guys, because, you know, I feel fine.
Right.
And you know
right.
what they did? They followed him to his house, and it's a waste of resources. I think it's in Kentucky. Shocky, some Kentucky hillbilly. And they are, they have completely surrounded him, and he's under quarantine. They're forcing the quarantine.
Right.
Now, you're not going to be able to do that to millions of people
of
if they ignore it.
But you can't arrest people, right?
I don't know. Just take away the legal. Just work with me in theory, okay?
Yeah. No, in theory, I think it works.
But here's the other thing that you have to do, though. And people don't like this. They take this politically, but it's not political. You have to shut down the borders, though. Because if you keep letting people come in from other countries that aren't doing this, they just keep reinfecting.
Right.
And that's what Denmark did. They shut down the borders.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? They wouldn't reinfect the people that are already immune because they got it. But they would infect the vulnerable that we've reintroduced back into the population.
Are you shutting down state borders? You know, New York, for example, is a hotbed. And New York's a hotbed because
probably
of the airports.
Should.
Let's
probably
be real.
Should.
The places that are the real hotbeds in the United States
are the ones that have the airports. Saying the country's borders. And that's why it's not really doable, because people have to travel. They have to travel for work. And we're not going to close our borders. We're not going to tell our people that you can't go do business in China. You know what I mean? We're just not. So it's great in theory, but I don't think it'll work.
It's easier to do that in a country like Denmark because their population's probably about the same as D.C.
Exactly. It's great in theory, but I don't think it'll work.
325 million people, you can't do that.
You can work towards that. I think actually, you know, like Eric used the word shaming the millennials or something like that the other day. I think some of that has worked. I think initially
they get it now. Finally,
yeah. I mean, I think it took a day for my daughter.
Yeah,
you know, she was like sad they were closing the gyms. I was like, she's gonna have to go for runs outside. Oh, it's harder to run outside. Tough.
I have to tell you, I have so much respect for all the kids that are doing this, because that age, especially teenagers, they are wired to be selfish.
Course.
That's it's not they're not bad people. Believe me, I've had to to come to grips with this. They're not bad people. They're just wired to think about themselves.
Yep.
And so for these young people, I'm talking about teens that are taking one for the team and staying home for weeks, you got to have so much respect for them and not complaining. Like yesterday was the best day we've had yet at home. People just, you settle in, they're on FaceTime, they're playing video games with their friends.
Did you get some chess matches in?
But no, I hate that. I've been outside playing volleyball with my
This is what I wonder. Right now, I mean, they're only 2 weeks into this, but if this is 3 months.
I don't think we're going to be able to do it for 3 months. At some point, what I think.
I don't either, but what.
I think at some point, what we're going to have to do is a version of the herd immunity, Jason, and we're going to have the vulnerable stay inside until we get a treatment or a vaccine. It just that's the only way to protect them, mm-hmm. right? And the rest of us are going to have to get back to work, and we're going to have to get back to our economy and stuff. And yeah, then we're just going to have to cater to them. We're going to have to bring them food, and we're going to have to, you know, help them pay their bills. But it's better than doing it for the whole country. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for the 80% in your
now,
scenario.
Go ahead. Valdez apparently is upset with me.
No, but in your scenario, for the 80%, let's say that there's 20% that are. There's 80% that's the herd that's living their lives.
Yes.
If you end the up getting corona, you go the Kevin Durant route, the Tom
Correct.
Hanks route, and you should
ride
be fine.
It out. Right, of course, that's the point. Yeah. That's the inherent point. And I believe that. 99% of us, well, no. Those of us that are healthy,
yep.
99% of us, we're going to be fine.
Should.
Yeah, 99%+. What were you going to say, Valdez?
Well, I don't know how this is going to go over because EB's so worked up. That I don't know if he can take any joning.
Go ahead. I can take the joning. Okay. But if you could accuse me of being a hypocrite, I don't like that particular criticism. But go ahead.
This is going to make me laugh.
All right. Go ahead.
I couldn't believe what I saw yesterday. We're in the middle of the apocalypse right now, stage one of it, with social distancing and everything. And I don't want to hear Eric bad-mouthing JP or Jason or Cakes for trying to squeak out something from their hook, get something for free. Uh-huh. Because in the middle of all this hysteria.
What did I try to get?
EB's getting free meals delivered to him from medium rare.
All right.
and I can't believe he has the gall to do that.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up.
That is also a public service in a way.
I'm glad you brought that up. They approached me.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do?
How can you say no?
I didn't say no. I could have taken the greater good of society, like JP right. said, and say, you know what? Give those to people that yes. need it.
Like
I could have said that.
Like you can, if you want to deliver this, send this to my mom, and I'll tweet about it and put you guys over
Absolutely.
On air. Because what they are doing is a great job.
Of course.
But I just can't believe some server drove out.
It wasn't a server. They have volunteers that are helping them because they're doing a great job. Right, By the way, shout out to Medium Rare. There's about, I think, 7 locations. They're in D.C., Bethesda. They're everywhere.
Did
they're
you doing eat the meal job. Last night?
Yeah, whole yeah. family pummeled.
Yeah, the whole family got fed while some old bag's stomach is grumbling.
All right. I can take this joning. This is fine. This is fair game. But I have to say this.
So funny.
I did not ask. They approached me. Now, I could have said what JP said immediately and said, you know what? And I thought of that. But I'm going to – and I said this on air yesterday. I felt like – I was one of those people because I needed something. I was in the middle of a crisis at home where my kids were rebelling. They were going nuts. And I felt like if I gave them that carrot, hey, listen, I know it sounds trivial. I'm doing daily things.
We're all eating canned beans. And then you're getting ribeyes delivered to your house.
It was a great meal.
Oh, I bet it was.
It was spectacular.
It looked great. I was jealous.
It's probably the best steak I've ever had.
Yeah, but you know what?
So you understand what I'm saying? I was using this as a carrot to say to my kids, listen, I know it's brutal.
I'd be lucky for carrots.
I know it's brutal, but I'm trying to come up with daily things to say, listen, I'm going to give you this reward for doing. I'm bribing my kids in a lot of ways to try to. To try to keep them calm. Well, everyone's going crazy.
Isn't your neighborhood filled with old people?
I think in Kensington and Chevy Chase, if you looked at the average age, it's probably older than the average.
Can you have given it to a neighbor who maybe is struggling a little bit because they're quarantined inside?
Yeah. You could shame me on this.
His neighbors can afford the
meal. I didn't need it. I'm telling you I didn't do it for me. I promise you I didn't do it for me. I did it for my children, but I guess that's for me.
Rare that's doing a good service. So yes. In a way, even if EB was being selfish in a way, he was actually helping the greater good of getting the word out.
We're in a crisis, and EB's trying to figure out what hooks he still has available.
No, that's where you're wrong. I didn't seek this out. This came to me, and I said, I'll take it for my kids.
I'll be honest with you. If they came to me with this kids. With the same offer, it wouldn't occur to me to say, just hook the guy down the street, the 80-year-old.
Do you want me to tell you the 100% truth?
Yeah, I've been waiting for it.
Do you want to hear the 100%
yes,
truth?
Please, we do.
Okay. I don't eat red meat. I had one sliver this big. It was not for me. It was not for me. I'm telling you it was not for me. Now, it was for me in the sense it was I'm trying to do things to keep my family healthy. I mean, you know, not killing each other. That's what it was about. I don't eat red meat. So, but I had two pieces of the cake.
The cake, yeah, they the dropped broccoli, off. The bread.
You had about 20 ounces of dipping sauce.
I'm telling you, it wasn't for me.
Grilled chicken.
Didn't have that. There was no chicken in there. You know what I had? I had some sort of cheesecake they had in there and a chocolate cake. Pummeled it.
Sounds delicious.
The family was bitter at me because I ate all the dessert. That's the truth.
You going to Golfdom today? Play 18?
Let me just tell you this about the eating. I think there's a lot of people that are going to gain weight. I really believe
that. I'm doing it. Dude, I feel like drab now.
You know, some people would go to the gym, obviously, and exercise that way. And there are other ways you can exercise. You can go for runs. You can do a home workout. But you're less likely to do that, let's be honest.
They're just going to sit around and
watch
TV.
You're home a lot more. And so you're going to be hitting your pantry and eating snacks. And then, like, the number one thing, even the president talked about it, or Steve Mnuchin talked about it, is the number one thing is you go to fast food places for carry out. Mm. And as much as I love fast food, that'll put some LBs on you.
Yeah, I agree, too. All I'm doing is eating nervously and drinking nervously.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the first day in weeks I hadn't had a drink. Because I got to...
I don't know why.
Well, because I'm telling you, we had a good day yesterday. I was keeping busy. I was doing stuff around the house. My kids were happy. They weren't stressing me. And so I said, I don't need a drink. And I actually don't think I'm an alcoholic, but in times of stress, I am. So does that mean you're an alcoholic? So if the S is hitting the fan for me,
if you don't have
personally,
any repercussions, you're okay. That's what I've always understood.
Well, if I don't have any, if I have my stress in order, I'm straight. I don't need to drink. But when the stress ramps up, I hit the bottle.
Don't look at the stock
market.
Today.
You know what? That probably is that's probably the definition of an alcoholic.
I'll become one if I keep looking at the Dow.
We got to stop.
What is the implied? Because I've learned now
it's not implied. Market's already open.
Oh, okay. What is it?
It's been open for 11 minutes.
What?
1300.
It is.
Yeah, 6%.
That's fine. It's just going to roller coaster for months.
Well, it's going to be more down than up.
It's been a long ride down.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It eventually.
We're at the start.
I've watched all the
coaster.
Experts. We're going to lose a ton of money, but it's going to hit a bottom at some point. It's not going to be zero. It's going to hit a bottom, whatever it is, and then people are just going to start buying the discount. There's so
Entercom's
many discounts.
A bargain. We should let everybody know that.
I highly recommend you buy Entercom.
Everything's a bargain.
Everything's a bargain.
Right, some of these stocks are 60%, 70% off.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Tesla was at like, what was Tesla a few weeks ago? $1,100 a share? Now it's like $400.
By the way, I'm so bitter that Jason now is on direct deposit because now that he's able to broadcast from home, and under the current circumstances, he'll probably continue to broadcast from home. We might all be doing that eventually. He would have had to come in here to get a paycheck, EB, under the old system.
Yeah, but how's that going to work?
You're online though, right? You finally got it up and running where they
pay
you?
How's that going to work with our company?
I don't know.
What do you mean? Somebody doing the payroll from their homes.
They can just do it. You just press a button?
Yeah, most people can work from home. We're the only idiots that are having a hard time figuring it out.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Junkies coming to you live here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Follow us on Twitter at Junks Radio. The boys dug up an old picture of EB pummeling some red meat.
Right. My God, that's like at 7 years ago.
Can I see it?
You just go to Twitter. I don't
it's
know.
It's literally I'll 7 years ago.
I'll text you the picture. Make you laugh, Jason. Yeah, I'll text you the picture, Jason. Hold up.
I just love to pummel the red meat. Pummel it.
I used to love red meat, and I still do. I told you I had a sliver.
How many geriatrics could that steak fill up?
I just texted you, Jason.
10.
What were you going to say, Jay?
I was going to say I cut down on red meat too, but it would never occur to me if someone delivered a nice meal to me to, you know, hand it off to my neighbor.
But I said that on the radio yesterday, and I think you were here.
I know, yeah. It occurred to JP right away. To me, it sort of occurred to me, but then the first thought I was, you know what? I feel like I'm needy.
I mean, to be
honest,
because
of my kids,
I don't want to go the political route. But there, you know, this started the discussion about what they're doing with this aid package, where they may give everybody $1,000. Hopefully, I mean, we'll see how it works out. Hopefully, it goes to those that need the $1,000. You know what I mean? And the reason they might do it to everybody is,
well, that's what
they might
said.
Have a tough time figuring out. But I saw Mnuchin, he's like, you don't need people that are making $1 million a year getting $1,000 check.
Well, no, I think what they said, they're going to check your tax
they
bracket.
They know that.
If your tax bracket is a number, they're not going to give it to you and me.
Yeah, they know that. I mean, if they gave it to me.
They may give it to you. I'm telling you, the way I understand it is all universally, right. And it might just be because of, it's just easier for them to do it that way.
If I don't lose my job, if they give it to me, I'll give it to somebody. Give it away. I pledge to give it away.
Right.
If I lose my job, I want it.
I think that it's difficult.
It's not going to make a difference, but
look,
sure.
It's difficult in the government to ferret out maybe in these times.
If they give me $1,000, regardless if I get fired because I'll be okay, I'll give it away. Okay? Does that make you feel good? I'll give it away.
I don't care. Eric, I heard yesterday on the news that they were going to give it to certain people in certain tax brackets.
They know. I watch everything. And nothing passes me. And I saw them say, we're not going to give, if you make $1 million, you're not going to get it. You know, they know. Yeah. I'm with you.
Well, that's what I'm telling JP.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah. If they send the Bickles $1,000, I'm going to give it to somebody.
They're not going to send Aaron Rodgers $1,000.
It's never going to happen.
I promise you they're not even
going to send Lurchy $1,000.
Right.
They're not doing it.
They're going to send people who are making, you know, 50 grand or less.
My W-2 was so silly last year.
He might need it to buy some frames for his jerseys.
No, I'm not worth it. Maybe to buy some toilet paper, some paper towels. There was no paper towels yesterday. Right. I got no paper towels in the house. Zero.
You can go out and get it. I think the initial... This is just my impression. I've gone to the grocery store a lot, you know, because I can walk to it almost every day. Initially, I just think that the demand was so great because of the fear. And now I think the shelves are going to be better. And I think they're also, some of these stores are doing something with their hours where they're going to have certain hours for seniors. This is almost kind of on piggybacking your herd theory, whatever you want to call it.
It's not mine.
Right, I know. Certain places, I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I think certain places are going to have hours specifically for seniors. Because if people are afraid, like I said, I went in there and saw somebody with a mask. I'm socially distancing myself from anybody with a mask.
Well, it's just,
if they're just trying to be healthy, you know, they want to give these people access
to it.
Well,
let's put it this way. I see a urologist. My dad died of prostate cancer. I've been seeing a urologist for 10 years. I'm staying ahead of the curve on it, I think. He told me that I'll never die of prostate cancer. If I ever get it, because I go every year, I go regularly. I take a pill to so that, because when you get older, your prostate gets bigger. I'm giving everybody all my info. I take a pill so that it relaxes your prostate, so it's easier, all this stuff. I have to go back for a routine appointment. Okay? Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me?
I am.
And you're not looking at me, but I'm looking. I don't want to go to the doctor's office because you know what? You know where there's a million old people? The urologist's right. office.
Right.
So I don't want to go to the doctor for my dumb routine appointment when there's just going to be old people there.
It's not necessary.
Right. So they're, you know, even for if you go for like a kid doctor, at a kid doctor's place, they have sick hours and non-sick mm-hmm. hours. Now, there's still germs. So I wouldn't touch anything. But I think they're going to have to do that for the next few months with the vulnerable. So, like, if you have my mom's heart condition. She has a pacemaker. I mean, you know, when my mom has to see the cardiologist, she's going to have to go at a time where there aren't regular docs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so they're going to figure, and they'll figure that out. Yeah. They're not stupid. I mean, these people are brilliant. At the end of the day, if people want to feel good because you can really feel bad, I truly believe that the geniuses that are our researchers and the researchers around the world are going to solve this quicker than they ever have in history.
Hey, think of it this way.
I hope you're right.
There's a lot of people smart.
But it's going to be a while.
And the stock market hopes you're right. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people a lot smarter than us, and somehow we figured out how to get Lurch, who's like doesn't know how to do anything.
That is a miracle.
Video.
You got him on Duo?
If Lurch can figure out Duo.
You got him on Duo and you got him to plug in. How'd you get him to plug in his Comrex?
Because I'm money. When I put my mind to it,
step by step.
You know what? Where there's a will, there's a way.
It wasn't step by step.
All right, Jason, we got to get out of here. For Jason, who's from his house,
I'm waking up at 5:45 tomorrow.
Yeah. EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.